I never have done this, but we're going to do it today. Amen. By the help and grace of the Lord. We've prayed and some prayed and some fasted last night that I would have strength today. And expectedly, is that the right word? I expect to have the strength. And I had a real bad day yesterday, but today I have strength to fulfill this mission. You know, my friend, Pastor Kobe, makes his pulpit available to me anytime that I want to. And I appreciate that. So sorry about Sister Daisy. We've been praying for her, and I know you have too. I'm glad to have a gang over here that come with me. My wife is my caregiver, and I couldn't do without her, and I love her. She's right by my side at all times. Debbie is going to sing after a while and help me a little bit to save my breath. Rick, my son, a minister. Don, my son-in-law, is a minister. My daughter's in the ministry of music and with Don and Sister Joyce and Curtis. We're glad that all of you are here. And we're expecting my strength to hold out. I'll do a little different probably than I've ever done. I'll read some of the sermon. But believe me, it didn't come out of a book. I found a little section in a book that talked about this. And I took some scriptures from him. But this sermon just been poured in my heart. And if I read it, it still come from God to my heart to you. But I want to do what is necessary. And I'll give you a lot of scriptures. But we're going to do it. Father, by your help, by your grace, we're going to preach this message. And it's going to be effective for the kingdom of God and your glory. And to help some people and bless some people. In Jesus' name we pray. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to put your finger in one place. I want you to go to two places. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 13. And Revelation 1 and 14. I'll wait for you. Revelation 1 and 14. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 13. And Revelation 1 and 14. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Talking about what you do with your Christian life. Are you just fooling around with a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble, stone? Are you gold and silver and precious? For, I put the word for, verse 13, every man's works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I'll get to that in a minute. Could add, every man must stand and give account on judgment day. It's going to be tried by fire. What kind of a life? Revelation 1:14. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Now listen. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Over here on the end of the piano, I have a trophy. That trophy was given to me because of some hard work and what I did. I'll not brag on me, but you'll see the point, I think, in a minute. I asked a few others to bring a trophy. Maybe you have trophies around your house for various things. Most of those trophies didn't come easy. I was the top salesman for the year at a cemetery down in Corpus Christi area. Top salesman of the year, and that was given to me. Aquila acted like she wanted to throw it out the other day, and I said, no, you're not. I earned that thing. Those of you whom I asked to bring some award or trophies, you got 30 seconds. Tell about your trophy.
Well, mine come by law. I just say practice and time. And it's basically in a bowling game, a 300 is high as you can score, it's perfect. And he comes by a lot of hard time to it. Also, he's one of my many rings, my 300s. I'll probably got over 40 of these things. And some people never accomplish that. They've been going for years and years and years. But it's a thing of his desire to accomplish that.
Amen.
It's my desire to put in whatever time necessary and practice and continually doing the same thing to accomplish that. And by God's grace, I do.
Oh, then I had one.
Mine is an award from a choir. Missing the pensionette. But what kept me to keeping it all these years is we had moved from Corpus Christi to Houston my latter half of eighth grade. So I only had one semester in junior high school. And it was a high honor to me for them to pick me as the choir award, because they've known all those kids all their life and moved with them, and I'd studied in choir all my life as usual, and music, and as Daddy said, it's a hard price to pay to get to where you get for your award, and it paid off by, it just, I've got other awards too at home, choir and lettering and all that, but that one meant a lot to me because it's just the last half of my eighth grade year, and nobody knew me from Adam. You don't fit in when you're new at a school. And I received a high honor in choir that it blessed me.
Trophy?
Yes. When I was in ROTC, I got one because I was ranked as a first sergeant, and it was soft.
God bless you. Curtis don't get to show his off because he couldn't find him. He's gold medalist at the Senior Olympics. 2 gold medals at the Senior Olympics in Houston 2 years ago. And he's got big medallions. Rick can't find his. He's got hundreds of baseball. Paul said, let me give you the title, Trophies of Calvary. Trophies of Calvary. Trophies of Calvary. Now we're going to forget about that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the diligent price that Christ paid to win us and get us and get us to heaven. And when I stand before him that day, I'll be one of his trophies. He had to do something to get me to heaven. He earned every bit of it. And I'm a trophy of Calvary. I'm a result of hard work, of the death, burial, and resurrection. All that Jesus did, he came into the world to save sinners. He came in to bring sons to God, the Bible said. And he paid a big price. Paul spoke of the Olympic trainers and runners, and he said something like the course, talking about how hard the course was. But they paid the price. They paid the price so that after they ran their race, they could have a trophy put on their head. And the trophy that I'm talking about, I'm not bragging on me. I'm talking about the results of hard work of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand before the throne of God one day as a trophy under his name and what he did and not what I did. I've said so many times, I am saved. I am being saved, and I shall be ultimately saved one day. I take you to the spot at the altar in Ellisville, Mississippi, where I was saved. But I want to tell you that second part, I am being saved. God is still working on me. Did you hear that? God is still working on me. And I shall be ultimately saved one day. And this is a little part. This is a little part in the timetable of God that I want you to see when you face Jesus Christ with those x-ray piercing eyes on the judgment seat of Christ time. I want you to see that for you and me. And I want you to see it in faith. I want you to see it and believe it. Let me tell you a picture of God requires holiness, righteousness, and perfection. And I don't want one liar in this building to raise your hand and say I'm that, except through Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something that you haven't felt with the judgment of the doctors of death upon me. I began to do a lot of thinking that you haven't thought this way, so I'll take you there in advance. I got to face the judgment seat of Christ one day. With all of my weaknesses, with all of our jealousies, with all of our pride, I'm talking to you. With all of our enmities, our lack of wisdom, our failure to forgive sometimes, our lack of wisdom, and all the millions of personal sins we've done, our failures and sins of which we're guilty. I heard somebody say they get angry sometimes. Sometimes I'm guilty of judging. Sometimes I criticize. In pastoring church for 40 years, I've wondered how many people are really, really ready to go to heaven. How many are really ready? But I've got a solution for you. And it's going to be very positive. You're not going to be mad at me. I've got a solution for you. And for me. And for me. I wish you would really mark in your mind Revelation 4 and 5. And don't go to it. We're not going there. I don't have time. Revelation 4 and 5. It talks about the majestic throne room of heaven. It talks about the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, and the splendor, though the splendor. And this man that's just said, sometimes I judge, sometimes I criticize, and he expects me to stand in that condition. I need help. I am being saved, but I want to show you that final time of salvation. But you could do yourself a favor by reading Revelation 4 and 5 over and over. It's not hard. They don't have all of the symbolism. You may not understand that there's four beasts, but that means living creatures. There's one of them got the face of a lion, and one the face of a man, one the face of a calf, and the one the face of an eagle. But set that on the shelf. Anything you don't understand in the Bible, set it on the shelf. Those two scriptures are not apocalyptic prophecies with symbolism. You can understand those two scriptures. And if you will read them over and over, you'll see where we're going, to that majestic splendor place of the throne. How can I stand there? And sometimes I criticize, sometimes I judge. Sometimes I don't forgive very easily. Sometimes I have situations that I don't believe are holiness. And I don't believe that they're perfection. And God requires holiness. And God requires perfection. Again, the text I read to you, that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Now, already during this process of I am saved, I am being saved, and I shall ultimately be saved, I wouldn't be with one foot inside heaven if I wasn't saved. You understand that? I wouldn't be one step inside heaven if I wasn't saved. But in that majestic majestic, majestic room. Even then, there is no condemnation. And those fiery eyes of Jesus Christ are going to meet me there. They're going to meet me and look through me and know everything that I've done. And I sincerely believe it's going to consummate my salvation. I need it. And it's going to consummate my salvation. That little time. This is not a place of condemnation. It's a place of a final touch up. You understand? It's a place that he's going to straighten all of those imperfections that I've had that don't even look like sometimes I'm a Christian, maybe. But it's a place he's going to get rid of all of my sins and guilts and fears and wipe all of my tears away. And Jesus Christ, that's worked so hard, to bring sons to God, has brought me to the Father. And I'm his trophy. I'm his trophy. I am the reward of what he did. This is the little place we'll get our victor's crown, our soul winner's crown, our crown of righteousness, our crown of life, and the shepherd's crown, and the crown of glory, and the incorruptible crown. But those piercing eyes, I will see more clearly on that day, the Bible said too. And he will see. But those fiery, piercing eyes that's going to look upon me just inside that gate. Isaiah 6, Isaiah had a vision of glory. And he saw the temple and inside the temple, the throne room as it were. And he saw the majesty that I'm talking about on earth. And it made him say, I'm going to read it. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He found himself in the presence of God. He found himself realizing, I don't deserve to be here. Then God took care of the problem. Then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal. There's that fire again. In his hand, which he had taken from the tongs. With the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And I said, lo, this hath touched my lips. And mine iniquity is taken away from me. And thy sins purged. I need that. I need that final touch up. You've been very nice to me so far, but I'd like a hearty amen about that. Do you need that final touch up? Can you stand before the King of Kings, the Holy God, in the condition you're in? I say no. Except you get that final touch up. those eyes are going to meet us. Oh, the majesty, the majestic scenery of heaven is so beautiful. But here I come in. I am saved. I am being saved. But here I come in now. Here I come. Oh, Lord. Sometimes I don't do right. Sometimes I sin. Sometimes I have problems personally. And I've got to come before the God of heaven and earth. Our weaknesses, our lack of forgiving, our personal problems and failures and sins. I'm talking about us. You hear me? I'm talking about us. I need that touch up. Those eyes. I need that. You know, women start to get out of their car and they say, wait a minute, I got to pull the mirror down and I got to touch up before going in this important place. Men tune up their car. I'm talking about that final touch-up that I need to stand before a mighty, almighty God. I tell you one thing that bothers me. It seems to me that as I enter in this little segment of time just inside the gate, there will be that crowd that I have to pass. There will be that crowd that don't think I should be there. And you know something? They are right. They're right. All of the people that maybe I've done wrong or think I've done wrong, the sins that people know about, there's a lot they don't know about. They're going to be there. That crowd, I got to pass that crowd. I got to pass that crowd. How did he get in heaven? I never thought he'd make it there. But I see those eyes looking at me. They're not eyes of condemnation. They're eyes of purging. They're going to put that final touch up on me, I know. They're going to touch my lip. I'll never criticize again. I'll never judge again. They're going to touch me and turn me into the holiness and perfection that God requires around the throne because of that final touch up, that final touch up that every one of us need. Do you understand what I'm saying? Debbie, read something for us, please. I've asked Debbie to help.
Okay, that's better. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good folk? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Now two? Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no. Back of the room, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" as he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? Two thousand, and who'll make it three? 3,000 once and 3,000 twice. 3,000 and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" And the answer came, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And many a soul and many a man with soul out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Amen.
Oh, master, I am the tuneless one. Lay thy hand on me. Transform me now. Put a song in my heart of melody, Lord, to thee.
Hallelujah. We need that final touch. Yes. We need those piercing eyes. And then we become a trophy of Calvary and Jesus' work. No works of righteousness that I have done, but it's his works. At this moment, he's going to change the mortal into immortality. At this moment, he's going to change the corruptible into incorruptible. At this moment, he's going to put the robe of righteousness, the robe of righteousness upon me, that I am fit for this majestic place called heaven and the presence of God because of him and not because of him. He saved me. It wasn't easy for him to get me saved this far. I don't know that you understand it. I want to read something to you so I won't miss a word. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his neighbors and friends, friends and neighbors together, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost."
Amen.
I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 persons which need no repentance. I'm that lamb that he laid on his shoulder. He went out looking for me, and I'm that lamb. I'm that trophy of his hard work and his labor, and I'm that trophy. I think maybe while those piercing eyes are purging me from all of my weaknesses and those final touch-ups that I need, I think while those, maybe we'll talk. He may tell me about that time he had of dragging me into heaven, as it were. He saved me sometimes, like this sheep, when I got entangled in things that I should not be entangled. He saved me by loving me sometimes. He saved me through some situations by patience, having patience with me. He saved me at other times by disciplining me. And sometimes he delivered me like pulling me out of the fire. But it was he, it was he, it was he. And that now he's giving me that final touch up. The prodigal son, I was that prodigal son. And the father loved me and threw his arms around me and brought me back into the fold. I was that sheep. Jesus of Nazareth is the one who gets the credit.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the one that gets the glory. Let me tell you, Brother Paul backs me up. Let me give you some scriptures. I don't want you to turn to them. Let me just read them and move on. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of his word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that which should be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
Right there, just inside the gate, he made me that one that was perfect in the eyes of God. Amen. He did it. I didn't do it. He did it. He did it. And what an exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, who shall change this vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. It was given me. That robe was placed on me. It was given me and imputed. To whom righteousness is imputed and sin was not. We who believe on him that raised Jesus from the dead. For it became him. Listen. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. He brought us in, and he receives the credit and the honor, and I'm a trophy of Calvary. I'm a trophy of Calvary. I'm a trophy. Oh, inside. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, Isaiah said. My soul shall be joyful in God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Yeah. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorn herself with her jewels. And in Romans 18:17. And if children, Romans 8:17, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Friends, this message may be for me and me only. But I want to tell you something. I'm looking at a bunch of faces that I think's going to need that final touch up. Just as we get inside. Then he's going to put that robe upon us. He's going to put that ring upon us. He's going to put that. He is the one who deserves the glory and the honor. And he's made. If you want to read that revelation, I told you. Said 10,000 times thousands times thousands. That's billions of trophies that he's going to have. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. We are his trophy.
Amen.
But that final touch-up is needed by every one of us as we enter that gate to make us ready to stand before the living God. Amen. Debbie, sing.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears
hallelujah.
To dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved.